שלום.
I'm perfectly shaped for it.
We're in Aya. Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata, the philosophical story aspect of the Gemara. We're in Masechet Shabbat, chapter 2, Se'iv Zayin, 7. And it's unbelievable how Kadosh Baruch Hu works. I'm Dafka writing an article on exactly this topic, on the relationship between the globalization of the world, which Rav Kook writes a lot about, as opposed to the nationalism of Zegulat Yisrael, of the specialness of the nation of Israel, and how those two, lichora, at first glance, they seem to be contradicting, when all the nations are going to fold up the flags and become one family, what's going to be the role of Am Yisrael? Came right at the right time, because I, for whatever reason, I didn't recall this piska. I don't think I ever learned it. The Gemara reads as follows. This is on Daf Kaf Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis teach, Mitzvat Chanukah Ner Ish Uveito. The mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles is an obligation on the family. One person in every family can light. Usually it's the father, it could be the mother, it could be one of the children over bar mitzvah. One candle for the whole family. That's the halacha. V'mahadrin ner l'chol echad ve'echad. And if you want to do even better, extra credit, then you light a candle for each and every one in the family. Famous machloket between Rambam and Tosfot. Does it mean that everyone in the family lights? Actually, that's on the next opinion. Amadrin min amadrin, the third opinion, even better. Beit Shammai omrim yom rishon madlik shmone, mikan va'elech pochet v'olech. Beit Shammai says on the first night you light 8 candles, second light 7, and chen hala. Ubeit Hillel omrim yom rishon madlik echad, mikan va'elech mosif v'olech. That you light more and more every day. On the first day, one candle. On the second day, 2 candles. As we all know, in a machloket, difference of opinion between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, the halacha is like Beit Hillel. Famous machloket between Tosfot and the Rambam, where Tosfot says that the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is that one person lights one the first night, 2 the second night, 3 the third night, and you don't light a separate menorah for each person in the family, as opposed to the Rambam, who says, yes, yeah, light a menorah for each person in the family. Amar Ula, pligi batrei amorai b'ma'arava. 2 amoraim disagreed in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. They were chulek, they disagreed regarding what is the svara, the reason of the opinion, of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Chan amar tama de Beit Shammai keneged yamim anichnasim, v'tama de Beit Hillel keneged yamim ayotzim. One said that Beit Shammai's opinion, why do you go from 8, 7, 6, and hala? You go according to the nights that Rashi explains anichnasim. Ha'atidin lavo, the number of lights that you have left. So is that on the 8th night, you have 1 candle left. 7th night, 2 candles left. In other words, you count how many days you have left. And Beit Hillel counts the opposite. How many days have passed. V'chan amar, taima de Beit Shammai keneged parei achag. That was the first explanation. The other explanation said that Beit Shammai goes down 8765 according to the number of the parim, the bulls that we give on the holiday of Sukkot. Where on the first day, the Korban Musaf is 13 bulls, second day is 12, 11, 10. And it's not a coincidence, because there is a lot of connection between Sukkot and Chanukah. We know that there are 3 regalim midoraita from the Torah, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And the achronim are makbil. Actually, it's actually found in the Gemara. There are allusions to this. that each one is parallel to a chag, a rabbinical holiday. Whereas Purim, Hador Kiblu Abimei Achashverosh, that parallels to Shavuot, Matan Torah, second Kabbalat Torah. Sukkot, as we see here, is parallel to Chanukah. And Pesach is parallel to the third and final chag, that of Yom HaTzmaut. Another even clearer connection is that why is the holiday of Chanukah 8 days? According to Sefer HaMakabim, because that year, because of the war, we couldn't celebrate Sukkot. And it says there that the Jews took out their lulav and etrog on Kafei Kislev, instead of Sukkot in Tishrei that year. In other words, so the connection between Chanukah and Sukkot is very clear. So when Beit Shammai says, oh, just like Sukkot, we go count down. So to Chanukah, we'll count down 8, 7, 6. V'taima de Beit Hillel de Malim Bakodesh Ven Moridin. The reason of Beit Hillel is that there's a klal, it's brought down in Masechet Menachot, that you only add. Judaism is an optimistic religion. Anybody who's learned Rav Kook and his Orot, the lighter side of this, the lighter side of that, the positive side of this, everything is, anybody who's a believing Jew should be positive, and therefore, we're always going up. Evolution, which we've learned about, the way of the world is constantly improvement, Shuva. So that's Beit Hillel. Amar Abar Baruchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Zevkenim Ayu B'Tzidon. There were two elders in Sidon, in Lebanon. Echad asak Beit Shammai, v'echad asak Beit Hillel. One did like Beit Shammai, and the other did like Beit Hillel. Zenoten tam lidvarav keneged pariachad, zenoten tam lidvarav demalim bakodesh ve'en moridin. And there's a proof to the second explanation that we saw, that the reason isn't because Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are counting the number of days that have gone or that have yet to come, but it's a proof to the second opinion, where it says that we're counting either according to the bulls of Sukkot or Malim Bakodesh Ve Moridin, idea of constant improvement.
But what do they mean, the first opinion? What's behind that?
I don't know. If this were my shiur, I would suggest a svara, but this is Rav Kook's shiur, and I don't think people at home are interested in what I have to say. So let's go. Hanitzachon shenatan Hashem biyad avadav hakohanim shenitgabru al yevanim shebikshu lo rak la'akor et am Yisrael mima'amadam hachomri ki im la'akor et chunat hachayim sheYisrael modi'im ba'olam. A long sentence, we'll stop in the middle, we'll explain. The victory that God gave the Maccabees were Kohanim. Rav Kook is stressing the fact that it was a religious war. It wasn't just a military or a national war over independence, which it was, but also the fact that the Kohanim went to war stresses that it was a war over religion, over ideas, over ideology. Shenitgabru al Yevanim, when we defeated the Greeks, shebikshu lo rak la'akor et am Yisrael b'mamadam achumri. As opposed to Haman, for example, who wanted our money, he wanted our possessions, he wanted to obliterate the Jewish race, the body. The Greeks wanted kim lakor et chunat achayim sheYisrael modi'im ba'olam. The Greeks wanted to uproot our ideology, our religion. Shehim tzrichim liyot al pi shorshei Torah. The lives of the Jewish people are supposed to be according to the Torah. Shetiyah ha-tahara v'atzniut, ha-matara ha-rashid b'chayei ha-mishpacha, v'achareihen yimshichu yeter amidot v'adayot yisraeliyot. The Greeks tried to uproot the basis of the Jewish family, of modesty, of being of family purity, of loyalty to your spouse. We know that the Olympics, that was one of the issues, that Jews didn't want to participate in the Olympics, and they didn't want us because we had a Brit Milah. So who cares if you're circumcised? The answer is that the Olympics were done in the nude. And that was part of the Greek ideology. Not only that, there's something very interesting. I gave a shiur on this in the yeshuv like 10 years ago. There's a Midrash Chanukah. It's found in Otsara Midrashim, of Rav Yehuda David Eisenstein. Familiar with Otsara Midrashim? These are Midrashim which are not found in the Yalkut or Midrash Rabbah or Tanhuma or any of the classic story Midrashim. It's Midrash Agadah, it's stories, which is meant to teach a message. But there are so many Midrashim that are floating around. Many were found in the Geniza in Cairo, in different Genizot, Midrashim that pop up in different Sfarim of Rishonim. And Rav Yehuda David Eisenstein, who was a Jew, he lived in America. He wrote most of his Sfarim about 100 years ago. He was an unbelievable bekilt. He lived, I think, to the year of 100, to the age of 100 and something. He was the editor of Otsar Yisrael, which if you haven't heard of the set, it's something that you should definitely get. You can get it today for relatively cheap because it's a forgotten book. It was reprinted like 15, 20 years ago, and the young people don't appreciate what it was. It was like the Jewish encyclopedia. But it wasn't written by professors. It was written by Talmidei Chachamim. He wrote to some 50, 60 Rabbanim, first-rate Rabbanim. As a matter of fact, Rav Kook has an article there on Bar Mitzvah. I don't know why he chose that topic to write. But he was a little muscular. You'll find here and there a couple of that would be considered a little controversial, but he's definitely would be considered conservative with a capital C. He's from. It's okay, but I just mentioned that don't be surprised if you see something which sounds a little controversial there, because that was what was accepted in the time. Yeah. Haskalah edged him. Anyway, his classic work on Midrashim, there are two volumes called Otsar Midrashim. And in the story of Chanukah, what makes it particularly important is because there's no Megillat Chanukah. There is the Sefer Maccabim. There is the Megillat Antiochus. Neither of which are historically passed down from tradition generation to generation. There's a lot of things that have sneaked in there. Also here in this Midrash, obviously Midrashim is not halachic work, so you might find things here also that were added over the generations. Nevertheless, very, very interesting. We all know, anybody who learned Masechta Ketuvot knows that, I think it's Daf Gimel Amud Bet at the beginning, that talks about the Gzera of the Hekmon. That on the wedding night, the local Greek ruler would take the kala, would take the bride, and have relations before handing her over to the husband. And that's in the Gemara. It's not mentioned, as far as I know, in Megillat, in Sefer Maccabim. And here it mentions another couple of gzerot, all of which go in the direction that Rav Kook is going. I don't know if he saw this midrash or not. It talks about the different gzerot to the Greeks. Gzera number one, she'oselo bariach o mizgor lepitcho, yidaker becherev. That they didn't allow Jews to lock their doors at night. V'chol kach lama, kedei shelo yeh liYisrael kavod velo reshut, tzniut. So that a person couldn't get dressed or undressed, he couldn't have a free relationship with his wife, and because any time anybody could just barge in. And that's why the laws of Yichud allow you to be with somebody else, another woman, if the door isn't locked. Because if the door is locked, then it's a problem. Here, they didn't let us lock the doors with our wives. The second gzera was Amdu v'gazru kol mi she'ishto holechet l'tvila yidaker b'cherev. They didn't allow the women to go to the mikvah. The third gzera was Tikanes kala b'layla rishona michupata ele etzel egmon, which we mentioned. The taking of the bride on the first night. V'hayu yevanim mit alelot bebtulot Yisrael. Ad Sheba Maaseh Shel Bat Matityahu, it gives the story of how the Maccabean revolt broke out. It says that the daughter, Chana, the daughter of Bat Matityahu, was about to get married, and as the from the family of the Kohen Gadol, they made a huge feast, and all the VIPs of Israel were there, all the VIPs of Yerushalayim, the political leaders, the religious leaders, the Kohanic leaders, it says everybody was there. And in the middle of the wedding, she gets up and she rips her wedding dress. And her brothers are very embarrassed, and they threaten the Lahavdil, what the Arabs call, to kill their sister, Lichvoda Mishpacha, right? An honorary murder. And so they threatened, you know, what are you doing here? You're embarrassing us all. And she put them in their place. They said, you're worried about me embarrassing you, where in another hour you're going to hand me over to that uncircumcised heathen to do with me what he wants, right? Instead of threatening me, why don't you threaten him? And the Maccabees, Shimon did, they learned from Shimon and Levi,